believers could not even tell me what the gospel of the Bible was. The good news of the Bible. And tonight, I want to cover that because this is something that is critically important to Christians to know how to do, is to tell someone how to be saved. How that we can be saved from God's wrath that Jesus Christ took upon himself. And why I chose this is because verses 9 through 10 are so very familiar with people. And with, you know, with all church believers. And I know everyone in here knows these verses. And it proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what we need to proclaim in our hearts and with our mouths. You know, the first century church, the first ever church, when this was the key word, was Jesus Christ is Lord. When people got baptized, they proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord after they were baptized. If you've seen someone in a marketplace, or you've seen someone walking down the street, they proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know, you ask why. Because, you know, the Romans had many gods. And even in Acts, it tells us that, you know, it shows us that Paul, when he went to preach, you know, on Mars Hill, that, you know, that famous sermon, when they had that statue of the unknown God, that they had many other gods that they worshiped. So proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord was telling them that they were all wrong, that they all had it wrong. And many of them even paid for it with their life. Paid for it being disowned by their family. Paid for it by the king. And we know the ruler of that time was Caesar Agrippa. And you called him Lord, and you bowed down to him. So, if you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and didn't bow down to Caesar, then you're going to pay for it somehow or another. Either with a beating, putting in jail, or with your life. You know, and right here, and I want to start first in verse 8 and read. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That it is the word of faith which we are preaching to you. And what Paul is doing right now is interwoven the scriptures right there with his message. Is he's quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is what Moses said. And let me start back, I'm sorry, in verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks of the following. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. And who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your heart, near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. So what he was saying there is that you didn't have to go to some weird odyssey or try to do all types of things for salvation. That the word was right there in your heart and near you and to your mouth. Because the Jews, they tried to work themselves up to the point where they were trying to save themselves by their works to become equal with God, to keep the law. And Moses was saying that if whoever practiced that and before that was saying that if you're going to try to be saved by keeping the law of God, then you're going to have to keep the whole law and not fall from one area. That's a hard task, because I know no man can do that. We know that's why Jesus Christ had to come and die for us. But it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you know, right now I want to focus on that first part of that sentence, and it says, if you confess Jesus as Lord. What are you doing? That's a verbal confession that has to be made in order to be saved, is what Paul's telling. And what are you saying by saying Jesus is Lord? That is that means you have to embrace Christ as Lord to be saved. The Lord is a title of Christ's deity. Like we say, President Donald Trump. Well, his name is Donald Trump. And Jesus was Jesus' name, but the Lord was a title. And this was proclaimed. God was proclaiming that Jesus was Lord when he came here. That he is the supreme, he has the supreme power, that he is the supreme one, and he has the supreme authority. That he's Lord over all. And if we confess that in your mouth, you have to submit to him as Lord of your life. There was a time when I didn't have that in my life, that I wasn't confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, and I'm glad that my grandmother showed me how to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. You know, and if we call him Lord, then he has to be Lord over all of our lives. We have to give him complete control. We have to submit to him. That means that he is in charge of all of our possessions. That he's in control of everything we own, everything that we do and say. And that's what Paul was saying here, was that if you want to be saved, that you have to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Everyone is a slave. Jesus said you're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. When you say Jesus is Lord, are placing your life in Jesus' nail-pierced hands. And that's what you do when you call upon him. That's the verbal commitment. But the second half of that verse says, you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. So what do you got to do? You have to first confess him as Lord, then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And what does God raising him from the dead say? You know, to believe in his resurrection is to say, when he died and he rose again, when God raised him from the dead, is to say that he accomplished everything that God wanted him to do. That he was God's son and that God was appeased in his sacrifice. And when he rose him from the dead, that he was proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, there's three elements in believing, and that's with the mind, to know the truth of the gospel and what the gospel is, and to being aware that you're a sinner and that you need Christ. He offers that gift. offers that free gift to you if you confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. The second one is the heart, or emotions. Persuaded of the truthfulness of this, is convicted by the Holy Spirit that this is the truth, convicted of your need for salvation. So with the mind, you confess that you're with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, but with the heart, you're persuaded. And you know, you might look at that and you say, well, Paul, ain't that backwards? But then Paul goes on to say, in verse 10, he redirects the statement. He says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You see how he switched that. That's why Jesus said that from within the heart comes out, the truth comes out of the mouth, what you believe in your heart. It's like when you go to a well to get water, you have to go down deep in that well to get water, and the water comes back up. So whatever is really believed in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. So he was saying here that that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. And that was his promise, is confessing him as your ultimate Lord. And that the truth was that God raised him from the dead. That was the power of God. That was showing us that that Jesus' atonement, that his sacrifice appeased God, is when he raised him from the dead. All Jesus' life was imputed or was given to us when we confess him as Lord. His righteousness, his righteous life that he lived, is imputed to our account when we confess him as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead and he was here, then we don't have no reason to believe.
That's right.
This Bible does not. We shouldn't have a church. Shouldn't even read this Bible, because if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, then all of his works didn't matter. The truth was known. He lived a righteous life before all of us. And he died as a atonement for our sins, because we were bad. We know that the gospel is that Jesus Christ came out of heaven, the second person of the Trinity, to die for our sins. And he came to die for sin, to save sinners. That we see the altar of the gospel. So when you ask someone, what is the gospel? It's the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. His life, his death, and his resurrection. I got a lot of things wrote down here that I probably skipped over. But you know, that's one thing that's so true, you know, when you go out and witness to somebody, that you have to make known to them that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means that you need to submit to Christ for salvation and believe that God raised him from the dead. Because that's the main point, and that's what Paul stresses here, that he goes on and says, for whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches. And what he was saying there is that it's no different who you are. The same Lord has to be Lord over you. It don't matter if you're Jew, Greek, African, whatever, the same Lord is Jesus Christ. And you have to call upon him. And it says in verse 13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I'm saying here today is that's, you know, that's the main point when you go out to preach the gospel, is letting people know that Jesus Christ came to die for them. That their sin, that they need a Savior. And you know, the law is kind of the tutor to show us that we need Christ. You know, you might say, hey, you know, you go out and say, well, I believe I'm a good person. I believe, well, take them back and say, hey, well, let me ask you, how many lies have you ever told in your life? And then they start thinking, well, I probably told a lot of fibs. Well, how many have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever committed adultery? Because Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust in her eyes, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So the law is there to show us that we cannot keep the law of God. But the thing about it is, the good news is that God came down here because man couldn't keep the law. Man couldn't save himself, not by any type of ritual. You know, I was seeing on the news tonight about Ash Sundays and the ritual that they were going through. You know, and it said about 40 days in Lent and stuff, and I was thinking, well, ain't a Christian supposed to always be a representative for the Christ Jesus? We don't need no ash on our head. We should always represent our Lord and do His work if we call Him. And so when you go out to witness, make sure that the people know that they've sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. And God demonstrates His love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. And then we come to here in verses 9 and 10. That if you confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's a promise right there from the Holy Scripture, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever calls upon Him will never be disappointed. And you know, and I think that there's irreducible elements of the gospel. And that is, first, the true understanding of God, the knowledge of God, that God is one and He is three. That He's our eternal, living Creator, God, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also the Holy Spirit. He's God, three in one. Another element is a true, accurate understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. That He is the Son who came into the world, took on human form, lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, both full of God and full of man. Sinless life, fully righteous, fulfilling all righteousness, so that could be credited to our accounts. To all who believe in Him, who died a substitutionary death, not as a martyr or not as a religious leader, but as God's chosen lamb, who paid the penalty of our sins for all who have ever believed in human history. A substitutionary atonement by Christ. to believe also in the resurrection. If we believe Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. So you have to have the right nature of God, the nature of Christ, a sinless life, a substitutionary death, and a physical, literal atonement. And then one critical reality is that salvation is by faith alone. Faith alone. Not faith plus works, not faith plus morality, not faith plus sacraments, or baptism, or taking the Lord's Supper. It's by faith alone. By faith you are saved through grace, by God's grace. You know, and it's so absolutely critical are these things that they form the irreducible minimum truth for the gospel to take root in someone's heart. For someone to make known these the elements that God came to save. For the gospel to take root in someone's heart, that they should know these things. One other aspect is that when someone comes to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that the necessity to repent from sin, and that means turning from sin and living for God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognition of one's sinless, one sinfulness. Recognition of one's sinfulness that drives one to the Savior. And that role the law plays, and is the tutor that drives us to the Savior, to be delivered from the sin and its power, and someday in the presence. You know, that's one thing that I haven't realized, that salvation is not just, you know, you look at this scripture, and it says that about righteousness and being salvation in verses 10 that we are saved. But you know, there's a positive. The positive is the righteousness. And the negative is salvation. And the reason why is because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us the moment we call upon him the Lord. And that's the good thing. That's the positive thing. Because his life is imputed to us. And that's the reason why we don't have to stand before God on our own righteousness. Because Christ's righteousness. Salvation is the negative because it's what we're saved from. We're saved from sin and we're saved from damnation and the wrath of God. So really, salvation is the negative. And when I heard that was kind of mind-opening to me. You know, because I always thought, you know, being saved, you know, it would make you happy. But when you go out and ask someone, have you ever been saved? You know, really, you should say, hey, have you ever been made righteous? And then people might say, well, how do you do that? I've been saved. But, you know, a lot of people don't. They say, well, I've never worked with that, you know. After I've been saved, you know, I've never really did this, or I don't go to church, or I don't read the Bible. But have you ever been made righteous? By Christ. And that means to call upon him. Because once you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he's saved, he's seated at the right hand of God, and you call upon him for forgiveness, he imputes his righteousness on you. And ain't that wonderful that we can stand before God knowing we're whole? Because and knowing that it's not our works, because if it was my work or our works, I
I'd be scared. I'd really be scared. But knowing that Jesus is going to stand in my place, like that song says that I've been wanting to sing, by sinner saved by grace. When I stood there condemned, Christ took my place. And that's the most wonderful message and good news about the work of God, is that He sent His Son. You know, when Jesus was in that garden alone and He looked into that cup, the reason why He was sweating blood is what was in that cup that He was looking into. And that was God's wrath upon sin. That scares me. That scares me enough to want to tell others about Christ and how they can be saved from God's wrath. And that's what every Christian should do. You know, in chapter 9, the verse, I'll just tell you, Paul's had so much sorrow in his heart because his brethren wouldn't accept Christ as Lord, that Israel would not accept Christ as Lord, that he even said that he wished that he was accursed, meaning he wished he was damned if his brethren could come to know Christ as their Savior and would accept him as Lord. That's what we got to do, and that's the message of the church. There's a quote, that's the message the church has to get out. That Christ is Lord. And that we need to spread that good news to the whole world, to all that are around us. That we need to be an ambassador for Christ. And that's what I heard Spurgeon say one time. The work of the church should be confirming the testimony of Jesus Christ by us, by if you watched us and you seen him. Would they, if they seen you and they seen how you acted or seen what you did, would you be confirming the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life? Is he Lord of your life? You know, I have to ask my question. I have to ask. I know that it's not by my works, but Lord, let me decrease and you increase in my life. I want to live a life knowing that I'm on my knees serving you, that I'm doing things to serve you and not myself and my own desire, but I want to serve you. Because you have saved me from the wrath of God. You know, I can't say this because I ain't got no children, but a lot of people say when they're holding their children, I have to say when I'm holding my new puppy in my arms, how safe that puppy felt when I had him in his arms. You know, how safe a child feels when it's in the parent. And in John chapter 10, it says that if we call upon him, the Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that he has a hold of us in his hand, and nothing is snatched from us. That's a great promise. And that's something that we should sing for joy and shout for joy always about. And be eager to go and spread this message. You know, I'm probably, boy, time flies when you're having fun when you're sitting. All of a sudden, you look up. But, you know, I just pray that all my family and all of my brothers and sisters, and I was asking for prayer about David the other night, you know, that he would know and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And since I have, my life has never been the same. When I was living out of His will, my life felt terrible. I was not happy. And I could not bear it no longer. It made me say, it made me go back, turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only time I was happy. When I was serving Him. That's the end of the Bible study.